Thank you for tuning in this weekend's homily here at St. Jerome Catholic Church in Mobile, Ohio. Today's homily was given by Father Tom Odie, visiting pastor here at St. Jerome, on June 11th, 2022, Trinity Sunday. Now here is Father Odie.
Today is Trinity Sunday, and I usually like to start with a story. After being a priest 53 years, I realized through experience that people don't usually remember anything I say, but they do remember the stories. And I've had people come to me after 20 years of being away from their parish and saying, I should know your name, but you're the priest who told the story about the chicken. And that's all they know. Okay, back in the 1930s, this couple, 95-year-old couple, came to the church to celebrate their 75th wedding anniversary. And so they had the mass and they had a reception in the church hall. And at the reception, the priest stood up and they said, you know, back in the 1930s, you got married. Sir, could you tell us the secret to your success as a marriage? And he said, the secret to our success is we never had an argument. The priest said, oh, come on, I find that really hard to believe. The old gentleman says, well, the day we got married, we came out of the church. Of course, it was before they had automobiles. We went down the aisle, came down the steps, and our horse and buggy was right out in front. We got in the buggy, and we started going down the road, and the horse stopped. My new wife got out of the buggy, went up to the horse, and said, that's one, and she slapped him on the head. Got back in the buggy, they went ahead again, and after another quarter mile, the horse stops again. He said, my new wife got out, she came up to the horse and said, that's two, and she beat him over the head with her purse. Got back in the buggy, they kept going into their new life. Finally, the horse stops a third time. He said, my new wife reached behind the buggy seat, pulled out a rifle and went up to the horse and said, that's three, and she shot him dead. I said, what are you doing? You can't shoot the horse. And she looked at me and she said, that's one. No more arguments. Anyway, you'll probably remember that. In fact, the last time I told it years ago in Edgerton, when I was standing at the door coming out of church, I heard a lady say to her husband, that's one. Let's talk about the Trinity. It's Trinity Sunday, so let's talk about God. When we think about God, of course, we have to think of his attributes. He's not like us. He's a divine person. We're a human person. He has a divine nature. We have a human nature. He exists out time, outside of space and time, the dimensions in which we live in. And he existed for all eternity. So that makes him different. But the revelation of Jesus is, in fact, what lets us know that there are three persons in God, three divine persons in God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As we think about that, we think about three persons in one God. That's a pattern. The pattern is three in one. There's also a principle in God. What is a principle in God? The Bible states it clearly. God is love. You got the pattern, you got the principle, love. When God created human beings in his image and likeness, male and female, he created them. He gave them a blessing so that they could multiply. That is, have children and be cooperators with God in the creation of life. So man and woman was meant for each other from the beginning. The Bible says that a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. That's what the Bible says. Thus, the beginning of the pattern takes shape. When they have a child, there's three persons, one family. It's a united family if they have love. The pattern and the principle are built right into humanity. That's why the Bible is quick when it says we were created in the image and likeness of God. Not we don't look like God at all, but we have that pattern and that principle created in our human nature. So when we think of God putting something of himself, the principle and the pattern in us, we know that unity is possible, but we have to have divine love. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. You don't find perfect love hanging around. It's always divine love. And so the ancients, divine love or supernatural love, the love that God has for us. The ancients always categorized and talked about three kinds of love: eros, caritas, and agape. Eros is more about feelings. Sometimes we call it passions. It's nice to have feelings for somebody. I like to have good feelings for somebody. But you probably notice feelings change really easily. Sometimes when I get up in the morning, I'm in a bad mood for no known reason. Then I know that I have to change that feeling, or I'm going to have a bad day, and so is everybody else who comes in contact with me. You can't rely on feelings too much. If you made decisions based on your feelings all the time, you'd be wrong at least half the time. The problem with feelings is their surface. They're a mile wide and an inch deep. And so there's a greater form of love called caritas. Caritas could be called care. If I have caritas or care for a person, I want to take care of them. I want to be careful how I speak to them, how I treat them. You're careful, not careless. You care about their feelings, about their thoughts, about how they're doing, about their problems. In my book, care is a lot better and feelings. Finally, you have agape. This would probably be defined best in our language as unconditional love. You feel for someone, you care about them, you love them without expecting anything back. Why is this the best form of love? Because it is the closest to the love that God has for us. It is self-sacrificing. That is what God did for us in having his own son come to die for us. That is what Jesus did on the cross by giving up everything for our sake. True love has sacrifice. When you see it in action, it really impresses you. I remember going to a nursing home. I had to go to this nursing home when I was pastoring this parish out of town the last Thursday of every month. I go at 4 o'clock, have mass for the residents, be coming out about 5 o'clock. And when I came out, I kept seeing the same guy come in. And after about 2 or 3 months, I got curious. Who is this old guy? Why does he come on the same day I come? So I asked the head nurse at the desk. I says, who is that fellow? He comes the same day I come every month. And she said, oh, no, Father. He comes every day at 5 o'clock. He comes to feed his wife. He's been doing it for about 2.5 years. And she doesn't even know who he is. Self-sacrificing love. I asked the guy one time who brought his wife to church, and she never could stay in church. She had bad nervous condition, and she'd start thrashing about, had mental problems, and most of the time he didn't even make it to the gospel. I said, why do you bring her every week when you know you're not going to stay? He looked at me and said, Father, because I promised I would. His vows involved true love, sacrificial love. He didn't get anything back. Why does God have this sacrificial love for us? It is his nature, a nature that always gives. He totally gave in creation. He didn't have to create anything or any of us. Jesus totally gave in redemption. Didn't have to die on the cross. He totally gave in sending the Holy Spirit so that he could continue to dwell within us. You see, we're related to God in a very special way. We can love. We can build unity and oneness. The church fathers pointed out that out God's grace, his life builds on nature. The supernatural builds on natural. It builds on our nature. So we're related to God because we have spiritual abilities to sacrifice, to love, and to give. That's what makes us different from animals. They can't do that. Our human nature would be perfect if it had not been for the fall of Adam and Eve and sin entering the world. Now we have a weakened human nature, and we must contend against the world, the flesh, and the devil to reach the higher realms of the spirit. That is why we need religion. That is why we need God's help, his grace, his life within us. Since Jesus promised never to abandon us, he is still with us in mystery. He is substantially present in all the sacraments. He is present in our family if we practice real love, agape love. Indeed, we can have a spiritual life. Yes, indeed, a spiritual life to achieve life's goal, glory with God on high in heaven. Don't think of yourself as a human being who once in a while has a spiritual experience. Think of yourself as a spiritual being that you're a spiritual being who are having a human experience while you're in your body. The Bible tells us that we're made up of a spirit, a soul, and a body. We're spiritual beings. We experience life in our body, in our human nature. Those religions that believe God only revealed his will and not himself are not accurate, because then God wouldn't be personal and he wouldn't love us as persons. You see, you can have a personal relationship with God. God as persons, you're a person. There's an endless thing you can figure out from that. When I approach God in prayer, I know I'm talking to a person, but not just any person. I don't start up by saying, "Hey, God." I say, "Hallowed be your name. You're an all-holy God. I'm talking to you through Christ." So yes, God is personal thrice over, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The pattern and the principle will lead you and your whole family to peace and joy in his kingdom, which, of course, is the purpose of your life. You miss heaven by an inch. You might as well miss it by a mile. You miss the whole point of your existence, your inner spirit and your soul. The church is established to save souls. And your soul is precious to God. It's gold. Don't you know that as far as God's concerned, your soul is as important as the soul of Pope Francis or of Bishop Thomas? It's just as valuable. It's worth saving. You got to have the love of God, his unconditional love, come into your heart and realize you can receive it through the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in to this weekend's homily here at St. Jerome Catholic Church in Walbridge, Ohio. Be sure to tune in each week as Father unpacks the scriptures and shares real-life stories that help bring scripture to our lives. Please join us for Mass Tuesday through Friday at 8 a.m., Saturdays at 4:30 p.m., and Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. God bless.